There's a psalm that I like to open with, and I've done it before, but I've just said the psalm itself, the scripture, and it's Psalm 118:24, and it's, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I started to think about that, and I said, I began to take it apart a little bit. It's that this day is the day. God made this day. And I used to think, well, why should we rejoice? Well, we rejoice because God's in it. And one day he corrected me and he said, no. This day is in me. I'm not in this day. Nothing. He's not in anything. He is beyond everything. Everything is held together in him. And this day is in him. And because the word says, I died and my life is hid with Christ in God, and I'm in him. So I'm in this day, and I'm in him. And I thought, wow, that's a reason to rejoice right there. What a safer place could you be? But it said, we will rejoice and be glad in it. David said, we will rejoice. And I thought, you know, that's a choice. We can leave, we can get up in the morning, and we can either choose to rejoice in that day, or we can choose to let the circumstances dictate to us how we will respond. We can, you know, let these things get us down and get depressed and angry, upset, overcome, whatever, fearful, or we can choose to rejoice. So I went and then I looked up that word rejoice, and one of the synonyms for it is delight. And so I said, we can delight in it and be glad. Delight means to be happy. You choose to do that. There's another scripture said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I thought, delight in the Lord always. And again, I say delight. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me of Psalm 37:4 that says, delight your, it's a scripture with a promise. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I said, wow, there's another reason to delight in him, to rejoice, because he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that doesn't mean everything you desire, but he will put his desires. He will give you the desires of your heart. And when your desires line up to the will of God, he says in John, 1 John, it's, I think it's 4 or something, I'm not real sure where it is, but he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it. And if you ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, his will, and we've those desires he's put in us, so we're asking according to his will, he's going to give us those. And I thought, wow, there's a lot more in that scripture than I thought there was. Amen. So, but that's what happens when you take the word of God and you sit down and you meditate on it. And God will begin to bring out of that scripture, that word, the truth that's hidden in it. But we have to seek it. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting on the patio studying, and this butterfly came fluttering right by me, real pretty butterfly, just like that. And it was sunny, and I was out there, and I saw it, but I didn't pay much attention to it. And about 3 or 4 minutes later, he comes back from this way, up the other side of the building. Here he comes, fluttering, ooh, up and down, really pretty. And I stopped and I noticed him this time. And I looked at him and I heard inside, that's like you. And I stopped and I thought, wow, Lord, was that you? And all of a sudden I got this vision of this, in my mind, this woolly caterpillar. And it's, you know, those brown and black ones that you've seen crawling around. And in my mind, I'm watching it crawl on like a twig or a branch. And then you can see they crawl on stones, or they crawl on the sidewalk. They crawl on a tree. And in my mind, I'm thinking, now it's the Holy Spirit talking to me, but I'm not realizing it at the moment. And I'm thinking, everything that caterpillar crawls on is bound to the earth. It's bound. It's not like that butter. It's bound. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and he said, that's like you, because once you're like that, you were like that caterpillar. You were bound to the world. You were bound to worldly pleasures, worldly desires, worldly mindsets, worldly relationships. But when Christ came into your heart and set you free, you're now like that butterfly, and you're free to fly and go anywhere in the Spirit with me that you want to go. And I thought, wow, God, thank you. That's right, you did. You came and you set me free. That amazing grace that they sang, and I was thinking about that as they were singing that. That amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was once in bondage, and now I'm free. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Anyway, so that's, he said, that's like me. But so that's what, when Pastor Tom and Lori had asked who I wanted, they said, you can speak on who your favorite person in the Bible. And although I'm drawn to Paul, I could spend hours in the epistles. I love his revelation of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. And I love the revelation of John, the revelator, and the love of God that he is familiar with. And I love David's, the dependence, his dependence on God. But my very, very most favorite person is Jesus. Amen? He's and I know he's yours too. Anyway, so the Jesus I'm going to speak to you about today is not so much the one that did the miracles and the Gospels and the Sermon on the Mount. The one I'm going to speak to you more about, which is what he's been doing in my life over the last few years, and actually it's kind of like a theme of my life, is Jesus the Word, because he has been showing me the importance of the Word of God and how we're transformed by that Word. In John, I was reading in John 14:27, where it says, peace I leave with you. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. And so there again, once it's saying, don't you let your heart be troubled. You choose not to let it. You choose not to be afraid. And so I'm sitting there, I'm saying, well, you're telling us to not let our hearts be troubled or be afraid. Well, how do we do that? And he said, I heard one sentence. He said, be God inside-minded. And I thought, wow, that's the key. Be Word inside-minded. You got to... Jesus is the Word, and if you let this, the Word says, there's a scripture that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, let you let. It's our responsibility. We have to take the initiative to let that Word be in us. And you've got to do that every day to transform your mind to the Word of God. And the other one is 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have his mind. If he's in us, then we have his mind, because his mind wouldn't be somewhere else. If he's in us, his mind is in us, and we can think like him. Because Jesus said in John 17:23, when he's praying to the Father for the disciples, he said, I in them and you in me. He's in us and God's in him. So we're in God. I mean, wow, that's a place to be, isn't it? in 1 John 1:1, this is in the end of the last three, where John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, not the gospel, but 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. He said, that which was in the beginning, but he's referring to the gospel of John, when he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now he's referring in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we heard him speak, which we have seen, we saw him with our eyes, and which we looked upon, or in other words, we observed everything that he did, we saw all his works, and our hands have actually handled and touched the Word of life. And he had come to realize that Jesus was the Word of life. And also in John 1:4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, for many years, I used to think about that. What does that mean? And as I'm studying this, he's kind of showing me that Jesus is the source of all life. He was always, life was always there, because he's eternal. He's always been and always will be, his life. And that life was the light of men. He is the source of life, and I said that life that was manifested in the darkness at creation, when he said, light be, light was. That life was what was manifested, and then light was. Light was created from that life. And it's that same life that was shown in our hearts when we were in darkness. And that life shown into our hearts in light, we came out of darkness into the kingdom of light. He translated us. Now we are in the kingdom of light. Amen. Isn't that great? I know. So Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." That's why he said, "Let your light shine." I've been just quick interject this. It wasn't in my sermon notes, but when I worked at the hospital at West Dallas Memorial Hospital of Radiation Therapy, on Friday afternoons we used to have like a tumor board, and we would go and we would listen to all the doctors discuss their approach to how they were going to, you know, cure this or treat this patient. There was radiation oncology, and then the surgeons and medical and other medical oncologists. Anyway, there was our physicist in my department where I worked. She sat across from me, and they had to keep it real dark because they were showing tumors and things on the overhead, so they kept it dark. And she was sitting across from me, and oftentimes I was not really that interested in it. So I would sit there and I would like pray and concentrate and think about God. And as I'm doing that one Friday afternoon, I noticed she was sitting across and she kept staring at me and staring at me, and almost to the point where I was becoming uncomfortable. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, why is she staring at me? And the Lord said, because you're light. There's a light in you that she's drawn to in this dark. I mean, I wasn't even aware of it. And we are not aware of it. But that light, because he is in us, it does shine. It does shine. And the more that you know the Lord, the more, the brighter that light will shine. So after I heard that, I wasn't uncomfortable anymore. Anyway, Jesus is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. He's body and blood to body. He's a body with flesh and blood to us, because God needed an earth suit to come to this earth to die as a human being. But it was God who put himself into human form for us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, the Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the very last. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's everything in between. That phrase actually means, it identifies him as God in the Old Testament, because in Isaiah 44:6 it said, "I am the first and the last, and there is no God beside me." None. He is, in Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And where is he again? He's in us. When you really think about that, and you sit down and you meditate, we could be walking in so much more than we are walking. So many more victories. So many more. We could be doing miracles if we would just focus and concentrate on that of who God, the fullness of God, dwells in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are his house, his temple, where he lives. And he is just wanting, so God so loved the world that he gave Christ, and he chose to put himself in us so that we could be his ministers on this earth and winning people to Christ and sharing that. It says, he is the I am. Do you remember where Moses, when Moses had that encounter with God at the burning bush? And he said, "Who should I tell them sent me?" God said, "You're going to go to the Egyptians, Pharaoh, and tell him what God was going to do." And he said, "Tell them, I am that I am." And I thought, now, I am that I am. I know he's the I am. Now, this is just my idea. It could be or it couldn't be, but I was thinking, I am that I am. Perhaps it was God and Jesus speaking. I am that I am. Two I am, equal. Could be, I don't know. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the night of the betrayal, when the soldiers came to Jesus and said, one of them said to him, "Are you Jesus?" And he said, "I am." And pew, the power of God came out and knocked them over. That's who dwells in you. That's who dwells in you. I have been asking God lately for a deeper revelation of who I am in him, like Paul, and who he is in me. And there's two scriptures that I really meditate on a lot, and I say, because I think, well, for me, that's what God has given for me. And one of them is, it's in John, 1 John 4, 17. As he is, so are we in this world. And if you think about that and you meditate on that, as he is, how is he? Well, Ephesians says that God raised him to a high place in heaven where he is ruler above all principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. That's where he's ruling and reigning. God raised him to that place of honor beside him. And where are we? We are raised together with him to sit with him in heavenly places. That's where we are. And as he is up there, now this is what I wrote. I have the same position here on earth that he has in heaven. We do. He's given us authority. And the other one is that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, if I'm joined to the Lord and I'm one spirit with him, and Desiree, you're joined to the Lord, you're one spirit with him. Mike, this is my brother, everybody. My faithful brother. We've been so close for many, many years. He's one spirit with the joined to the Lord. He's one spirit. Janice and Michael, you guys are one joined to the Lord. You're one spirit with him. Tracy, all of us in here, Kathy, we are joined to the Lord, one spirit with him. But you know what else that says? That if we're all joined to him and are one, we're joined to each other. And our one spirit with each other also. And that's, I think, where we, the body of Christ, has to really work on. To remember that. That I'm one spirit with you. You're as much a part of me as I am a part of you. As we are a part of the Lord. Anyway, in John. Okay, here we go. He said, I am the way. Mike and I were on the phone last night, and we were talking about a circumstance, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I said, yes, that's in my message tomorrow. And that's something we have to, you can say that scripture over and over again, and it'll never bear enough truth to you. You can always get a new truth out of it. He said, I am the way. He is the way to the Father. The only way to the Father. I know there's a lot of other ideas out there that there's more than you, many ways to get to God. But there really isn't. That's a spirit of deception that's out there. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. His word is the truth. But he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I said, well, now, Jesus, you said, you didn't say no man comes to God. You said no man comes to the Father. And I said, why the Father? And he spoke to me and he said, because Father denotes family ties, family relationships. Because Jesus is he was the firstborn among many brethren, right? He is our elder brother. So his sacrifice on our behalf made us brothers and sisters with him and sons and daughters of his Father. Amen? Amen? So you have to come to the Father through him to be a family member. And we can tell that to anybody that says there's any other way. Right? And the truth. He's the reality. That's another translation for truth is reality. That's this book, that book, this word of God, is reality. That's what's real. It's not what your circumstances. They may be a fact and they may seem real in this realm, but the spirit realm overrules the natural realm. So what this word says is really reality. And I started thinking about that and I said, you know, these reality shows about some of these stars, you think, oh, before the reality shows, it was like, oh, they are these big famous people. Oh, they have everything. They got all this money, and what a life to live. But when these reality shows come in with the cameras right into their home, you see what they're really like. That's what their life is really like. That's the reality of their life. And that's what this word does for us. It shows us the reality of the life that we have in Christ. Amen? Amen. And he said, I am the life. And he is the very life of God. It's the same life that he breathed into Adam and gave Adam his life and put him in that place of position before the fall. The life that he breathed into Adam was God's life. But when Adam fell, he didn't lose his natural life, but he lost that spiritual life, that oneness that he had with God. But when we got born again, that same life came into us and resurrected us and restored us back to the same state and position we had, that Adam had with God. We have that now in him. That's the life of God. And in him, it says another scripture that I love is, in him we live, we move. In other words, we're led by the Spirit. We move, the Spirit leads us and moves us, and we have our being or our very, very existence. Psalm 91, and I love that. I read it almost every day. It said, he that dwells, referring to us, dwells, well, where you dwell is where you live, or he who lives in the secret place. To me, the secret place is Jesus, because he said, when I died, my life is now hid, as I said before, with Christ in God. So if your life is hid with Christ, you're in a secret place. You can't be seen. You can't be found. And so he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, and that word means remain fixed and remain stable, under the shadow or the protection of the Almighty. And I think in these last days we need to become more acquainted with that psalm, because it's going to be a place where we have to find our safety, and we're going to be able to need that. I think there's some troubling times come. But if you know that and you get that built down inside of you, that'll take away your fear. It's a real liberating scripture, I think. The word of God is Christ revealed, and Christ is God revealed. Same one, exactly. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And I wrote down, in other words, if you see, Jesus is saying, if you see what I do and what I'm like, you're going to know the Father, what the Father is like. And that scripture again, so you'll know, because the word says we're to be imitators of God. But if you don't know what he's like, you won't know how to imitate him. That's why getting to know him through the word is so important. God spoke something very, very profound to me maybe a week or so ago. I had a question. I was facing a situation, and I wanted to know what God's opinion was. So I said, God, I'm going to go to your word, because I need to know what you've got to say about this. And as I'm reading it, he spoke to me, and he said, if you're not interested in my word, you're not interested in me. And it wasn't like he was correcting me. It was just like a wisdom key. If you're not interested in my word, you're not interested in me, because he and his word are one. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words, remember I said abide, remain fixed and stable. If that's where you remain, you stay there. If you abide in me and my words do the same in you, you can ask what you will. And it said, I wrote it in another translation, says, if my words, now listen to this, I had to sit back and look at it and think, wow, God, that's a lot. It said, if my words are living in you and you are speaking them, I will live in them as they pass through your lips. Because living things reproduce themselves. You want me to read that again?
Yes.
Okay. I read it several times myself. If my words are living in you and you are speaking them, I will live in them as they pass through your lips. Praise God. Hallelujah. God loves us so much that he put himself into words. It's another one. Think about that. He put himself into that word so that we could become acquainted with him. He's not trying to hide himself from us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to come into that relationship with him that we desire in our heart. Some of the effort, though, it's a two-way street. God can't do it all. We got to do some of it. We got to meet him, okay? That word is a living word. I know I've told this story before, but first, there might be someone in here that has not heard it before, but it bears hearing again because you can hear something two or three times and know it. I think I read somewhere where you have to hear something maybe 15 or 16 times for it to kind of, for you to retain it. And another reason is that when you read the word, I want you to think about this. And if you hear it enough, I remember Betty Wilkie. She said something over and over and over and over again in all the years that I knew her. And it was, what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. And that is so true. What you have in abundance in your heart is going to come up out of you. And the bucket is actually your mouth, because it's going to be out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So what you put in is going to come up. And that's, I remember her saying that, so I'm not feeling too guilty about repeating this to you. But I have had a situation I was seeking God for. And I went to his word, and I'd been praying and praying about it. And as I got to a scripture, it had the word will in it. I can't remember if it's I will or it will or something. But will is a action word. It's a promise word. I will. If you, someone says I will, it's like a promise. Well, that word will on the page moved back and forth, literally moved. And I stepped back and I'm ooh, wow. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, my word is a living word. It's alive. And it was like, yes, that was the proof. He wanted me to know firsthand that that word is alive, and he showed it to me. It was a spirit in the spirit, but it was an actual thing. And the other thing is, I want to read this to you because it was something that happened to me this past Wednesday. As I had been studying this, and I wrote, I went right away as soon as he gave it to me, and I went and I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. And as I had been studying this word, the word of life, over and over again, he said, I wrote, I got up on Wednesday, and I had been studying about the word that I'm bringing you guys today. And I went downstairs to make coffee and to prepare for my time with the Lord. And as I was pouring the water into the decanter, because I can still sense that it's so real, he said, I felt this very alive presence just totally surround me. And I immediately knew that it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. I felt life. And inside I heard, I am alive. I am the living word, the word of life here with you. I know. It was just so precious. And I thought, God, that's because when you draw from that word, that life, he becomes so real to you. Just he's like your breath, part of you. He's just ingrained in you. So I just wanted to share that with you. There is our Aramaic Bible in plain English. I don't know if any of you have heard of that, but Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus, or he, is the brilliance of his glory. And it's referring to he as Jesus, is the brilliance of God's glory. The image of his being. He upholds all things by the word of his power. His word has power no matter who speaks it. Jesus upholds his word. It's his word of power. That's where the power is from him, is in his word. He is his power. Romans 10:8 says the word, because it's a word, actually a word of faith is what it is. It's a word of faith. And Romans 10:8 says the word of God is nigh thee, or near thee, in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we speak. So God's word is when, and we know that that's where you get faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the key is to put that word of faith to work in our heart so that it can reproduce itself. That's what we have to do. You've got to put that in, because the power is in the word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when our heart is full of the word of faith, the word of God, then the faith that is in that word creates a force. It's a spiritual force or a spiritual power to produce or bring to pass what we have been saying and believing for. It's not just a parroting. You say it. No, you add your faith, the very faith that God gave to you to work with. And there's faith in that word. So when you apply your word, your faith to that word, then it's going to produce itself. It's going to produce what you've been saying, because God's word has the power contained within itself to produce it, reproduce itself. Right? You get that? Okay. I have a little story that I want to tell you about. This goes back quite a while. Desiree, you'll remember it. I hope you do. But you were like 14 or 15. We were living in Indianapolis, and we got a call from the hospital. Mike, you remember it too. Anyway, they said I think it was one of my family members that called. It's a long time ago, so I'm not really sure who called, but Mom was in the hospital, and she had a very, very high fever, and they couldn't get it down. And they had said, we're calling the family together because we're not sure if she's going to make it or not. She's very sick. We've got her packed in ice. That's how high that fever was. And so I said, well, Desiree was still in school, and I thought, well, as soon as she gets out, we lived in Indianapolis, as soon as she gets out of school, I'm going to take her with me. And it was in the middle of winter, so we're heading up north, and we got on the other side of Chicago, and this blizzard had moved in. It was a terrible, terrible snowstorm. And so when we got to Janesville, I thought, I better stop and get some coffee. Now, all this is pertinent because it's part of how God works in our lives if we let him. Anyway, so I stopped and I got some coffee. And I'm going to get back on the on-ramp to the freeway, I'm behind this big, it was at a truck stop, I'm behind this big semi. And we get on the freeway, and I mean, it's a whiteout. It is so snowy that I can't see anything. I could see nothing on the other lane on the other side, and we're driving, and I'm realizing that I'm safe behind this truck because this big, huge semi is like a shield to me, and it's keeping that snow from blinding me so I could drive. Well, and he's got two tracks, his tires, and I'm just staying in those. Do you remember that, Desiree? I mean, I'm white-knuckling it. My knuckles are white, and I'm praying. This went on for about 3 hours because we were driving slow. And I'm praying all the way. I'm praying for Mom. I'm praying for our safety. Well, he must have been going to Minneapolis because we were going, it was almost up to Eau Claire. It's a little town called Osseo, but it's right south of Eau Claire. So I got off the freeway and went to my mom's, and it was like 11 o'clock at night. It was late. So I had Desiree go in there, and she could get some rest. But I said, I'm going up to see Mom. I want to see her, and I want to pray with her. So I went up to the hospital, and I went into her room, and the nurse was tending to her. And I went over, and I said, how is she? And said, well, the fever is very high. And I saw they had packed her in ice. She had ice packs on her. And they said, we have to do this and see what happens. And I said, well, I'm going to spend some time. I want to pray with her. And she said, well, there's a bed right there. If you get tired, you could go to sleep. Lay down and rest. Well, she left the room, and I started to pray. And I'm walking around that room, and I'm praying the word of God. I'm confessing the word of God. I'm speaking it. I'm taking it. God, this is where you said. This is what you said. All the healing scriptures. All of them, and I think I went on an hour and a half. Well, I was really tired from that trip. So I took the hospital chair, and I pulled it right up to her bed, and her hands were on like this on the bed. And I sat down, and I took hold of her hand, and I was going to pray, and I had my Bible on my lap. I had my hand on my Bible, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, this electricity, I mean, it was like, I could feel it, like electrical shock came I had her hand, it came up my arm, went all the way across, down my hand, and into the Word of God, into the Bible. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. Wow, God, what was that? Oh, my gosh. These encounters with God are just, they're wonderful. Anyway, and so I thought, I was tired. I was just thanking God. I said, God, I trust her to you right now. So I went and I laid down, and I fell asleep for a few hours. And I think it was daylight, and I woke up, and the nurse was standing over there. And I came to when she saw me wake up, and she said, good morning. And I said, good morning. And she said, I said, how's Mom? She said, the fever broke. She's fine. She's going to be fine. I know. I know. That's the power in the Word of God, in the faith that we have. It wasn't my faith. It was my faith in Him, in what He said, that His Word was true, and His Word. God has invested Himself in us through Jesus. The Lord's Prayer says, when Jesus was teaching His disciples to pray, He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth exactly as it is in heaven. God wants His will done on earth the same way that it is in heaven. And you know what? He has chose us. He was teaching His disciples, you pray this way. And it wasn't only for them, but it was for all of us who would come to know Him through their teaching and through them, and that in the Lord's Prayer. And He was saying that we have the ability in us to be the ministers of Jesus Christ on this earth. He said, greater works than these will I do, though you do, because I'm going to the Father. But I'm going to send the same one that empowered me to do it to you. And that's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. We have His helper. We have His. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. So we have the Spirit of Christ working in our lives to do exactly what He has said. Because God's healing, health, wholeness, prosperity, all of the things that that word tells us, God wants us to have that. It's for us. That's why Christ died, so that we could have it. And Jesus has chosen His body to work through, to bring to pass His will here on earth, exactly as it is in heaven. And we must know Him to know His will. And so I'm going to encourage you today as I close. I just want to encourage you to allow God's Word to build your faith and to transform you into His image and His likeness, so that we can live out John 4:17 that says, as He is, so are we in this world. Amen, 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 hallelujah. You can put on Julie True if you want. Before I close, I just want to have these altars open for anyone who wants prayer, anyone who does not know your salvation, that you're secure in Christ, or if you just have any prayer needs. The altars, Elvin, I'm going to ask you if you would help me be up here with me and pray. If any of you have a need that you're facing, I know that Delvin does. There's, in his family, there's a need right now that I believe it's not just uncle. Yeah. And as you were telling me that, I was thinking of this. And what He's done for one, He'll do for. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. Amen. So we're going to pray that for, let's just pray as a congregation if we can for Nadja's uncle. He's in hospice right now. Heavenly Father, we come before You right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we've studied Your word today, we have seen and heard about the real You, the real You, God with us, God among us, the God who said, I sent My word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. You are the God that healeth us. There is no God beside You, Father. Your word said, by His stripes we are healed. We were healed, therefore we are healed. And Father, I pray right now that the anointing that is upon Your word, that word of faith, would go forth now. And we transfer it now to that hospice room where Tom, his name is Tom, right? where Tom is lying, Father. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that there would be encouragement that would rise up in him. Father, I pray right now for the anointing to be upon Nadja as she's with him, that you would stir her faith to the point, Father, where she can believe you for a miracle. In Jesus' name. We lift that whole family up to you right now, Father, that your grace and your mercy and your truth and your goodness would be placed upon them and given to them freely. Its salvation is a free gift in everything that it stands for, Father. We thank you right now. And we just bless you and ask you now, God, to minister grace and peace and truth and hope and confidence, oh God. And Father, we just know that as we pray this, that you've heard, you said, this is the confidence that we have in him. You said this in your word, that if we ask anything according to your word, that you hear us. And if you said, we know that you hear us, and we know because this has been your will, that we can have the things that we ask. So supernaturally, Father, now move in Jesus' name on his behalf. And I pray for every person here today, God, that any need that they would not hold back from seeking you, but that they would know that as they come and receive of you, Father, that you will give them what they've asked. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Can you put that Julie True on?